Jason Cairns, first thoughts, best 5 minutes of the day. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm in the doghouse this morning.
About?
Yeah, what happened, right? Well, yeah, so my daughter Grace is a very hard worker, and she's an organizer and a planner, and I am proud of her. I really am. But let's just, the backdrop of this is, when my wife was away last week, there was, you know, a little bit of, I'm not going to cite the specific activity, but I mean, there was something that, you know, it was like, oh, you did that. And then we had another encounter. So let's just keep that in mind, all right?
Sure.
Now, I don't expect my kids are, you know, clearly, they're my kids, so they're not perfect. But all their perfection comes from their mother. Oh, yeah, good line.
There you go.
Good line. So anyhow, she got a box of MyPillow slippers that, well, they had not fit my wife. So my wife said, you know, or basically Peggy's like, well, Grace likes these, they're like the slip-ons. And so I put them on her bed. She was working home care. I mean, again, proud of her work ethic. 8 a.m. till 9 p.m, Saturday and Sunday, every other weekend. I mean, and so she's also got another job. She works at Dove Healthcare. And so, like, one day a week. So proud of her. So I not only, and here's the thing about this doghouse experience, my friend, is not only did I leave the slippers down on her bed, I wrote a note on the box. I mean, so far, does this sound like the path to the doghouse?
Boy, not at all.
No.
It sounds like a wonderful other-centered gesture.
Yeah, we'd had a Easter picnic. Yeah, she'd missed it. And so I said, you know, some things about her. But here's the line. This is the dog. Here's the reveal. Part of what I'd said was, I'm proud of you most of the time. It's the most of the time part that came back to bite me.
Yeah.
I mean, I said other things, but the most of the time was because of the item that happened last week that I'm not being specific about, so it's hard for you to know. And so my wife had earlier in the day, so Grace on Monday had said, oh, yeah, that note. And so I thought, oh, she's really happy with me. And then my wife revealed to me that, yeah, that's not because you said most of the time. And so then finally Grace was studying last night at the dining room table when we got back. And so I called it out. You know, others might have just slunked away, but I'm just like, I'm proud of you. She's like, most of the time. I'm like, that's over 80 to 90%.
Well, there you go. Sounds like you needed an editor for the note that you wrote.
I guess. Oh, anyhow, that's my deal. How are you?
I'm good. I haven't been in the doghouse, so I think
nice.
I mean, not recently. I've been there before.
Yeah.
So, I'm really good today.
I was comparing my doghouse experience to the one that you tell most often at church with your daughter, and I'm like,
oh, yeah.
This wasn't as bad as that.
Yeah, I don't know if that was even doghouse. I mean, that
okay.
was like
Yeah, that's
prison.
True. That's true. Okay. All right.
So, but there is hope on the other side of that, and I think you're right. I think you're exactly right to be able to name that and bring it into the light. So often, I know for me, when conflict arises, my preference is to just avoid it. So,
Why don't you hit us up? Let's see. Should we do the gospel quote or something spiritual on top of this today? Let's do the gospel quote.
Yeah, I agree. So this is from, actually, it's from a book that you and I think both have liked, which is Living in Christ's Presence.
Yeah, that's great.
Dallas Willard and John Ortberg.
Yeah, if you can listen to it, go ahead. But, I mean, you can read the book, too. So.
Yeah, John Ortberg says this. He says, Jesus' gospel is not this. How do you know you're going to get into heaven when you die? In case you are not clued in on that, here are the minimum entrance requirements. His gospel is now the kingdom of God is available. Jesus says that life is God's presence and power come to earth in him, in his body. Heaven is on earth, literally. Jesus says, look at it, and if you want it, come and be with me and watch and learn from me and try to do what I do.
Now, to read that, and again, it's on Jason's Facebook page, so go find it and friend him on Facebook. But to read that initially, we don't have to name any names, but for a lot of us, I mean, we were kind of led to believe, like, if you were to die tonight and stand before God in heaven, what would you tell him? Like, that was the gospel. And so that, for starters, we have to kind of deconstruct, right? We have to dismantle what we were maybe wrongly led to believe. And
yeah. Well, you know what? I think the reality is that it's not less than getting to heaven. I think that, you know, I think that's an important part.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think it is about eternal life with God. But Ortberg and Willard both really make the point that when Jesus was talking about the good news, it was about the kingdom right now. You know, when Jesus says the kingdom of God is near, he doesn't mean it's coming soon. He means it's right around you. And
he says in Luke 17, the kingdom of heaven is within you or in your midst. Yeah,
right. Exactly. Or in your midst. Exactly. And I think that for me, that was a big eye-opening thing to be able to say, okay, is that really what Jesus said? And, you know, when I've gone back and looked, boy, that's what Jesus says.
Yeah.
So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Good
yeah.
stuff. Thank you, friend. And pray I get out of the doghouse. I'm thinking of, like, if I treat her to lunch, maybe that could do it. So.
Maybe that would be good. Yeah, and just don't tell her you're proud of her most of the time.
I guess I've learned that. She can turn it right back on me. All right. All right. Thank you this morning. Just kind of therapy here on the Wib Wake Up Show on WWIB. When we tell you that this is the last day Susan's with us for a while, don't misunderstand that. So, Susan, what's the deal? What's the story?
All right. Some of you are accident prone. Some of you, like me, have taken a tumble once or twice. Well, a couple years ago, I took a tumble after I was filming a peacock going through my yard, and I tore my rotator cuff. Mm. And then, of course, this winter, I got it fixed. It was great. And now this winter, I took a tumble on the ice, and I thought it was no big deal, but I just found out I need another rotator cuff repair surgery. That means I'm going to be into this weird sling. And I thank God I have insurance. I thank God I have a good surgeon. But I'm so sad that for a couple weeks, I won't be here with the listeners and with you guys.
Well, we want you to just get better.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I want to get better, too. But it just seems strange, you know, when God's plan doesn't go exactly like you think. I thought, oh, he opened the door to this job. Yeah. It's like, sorry, sure. You're going to be gone for a couple weeks.
I mean, and what kind of restrictions on movement? Because, again, as you're, I would assume with a rotator cuff, it's kind of like keep it tight to the body and don't be stretching and don't be lifting it above a certain angle. And
you listeners out there who have had this, you know you're in this bizarre, like, pillow elevated to immobilize your shoulder. So, and it's my right hand, so I can't click a mouse. I can't. And I've been trying to put my, here's the thing. The only makeup you can safely put on with your non-dominant hand is chapstick. I've tried.
So now we get the real reason she's
not
coming
out. I'm just thinking
about
mascara. It's like, don't poke your eyeball.
Yeah,
your
everything else looks clownish if so you try to put on it.
Does your arm go out or how does it?
Yeah, your shoulder kind of goes out on this little pillow. And you kind of look like, I don't know, like you're trying, like you're in an ad for an attorney, you know, those attorneys that are like, have you been in an accident?
Yeah, right.
That's exactly what your arm looks like.
Is there any chance on the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook page that we could get a selfie and or makeup tutorial with a non-dominant hand?
Yeah. You know it. I'm here for it. Whatever you guys need.
So we asked Susan last night, what are some of her favorite things? So she said, I'm not like, I like black licorice. And Tab.
Tab.
I struck out on the Tab. Drink. If anybody knows where Tab is, I'd like to find it to give her some. But we got
like
some
a roller rink from the 90s,
yay.
Maybe?
A donut and some coffee.
Yes, thank you guys.
Please join us in praying for Susan, too. That'd be a swift recovery, and she'd be able to join the Wib Wake Up Show again soon when she has full movement again.
Yes.
Thank you guys.
It's our Wednesday morning tradition, just a little bit late this morning. But so we take things that bother you a little bit, and we turn them to song. And again, always on the lookout for more material. You can text at 715-396-1670. What did you think when I broached the topic of this one, Halvo?
I thought that I heard you say that when you came in on Monday morning. You were talking about you had too much Easter candy.
I did have too much Easter candy. And so this is a timely one, perhaps. It's a little pet peeve about my overindulgence in all the things that came on Easter. Not what Easter's about, but we enjoy the candy and yours truly enjoy just a little bit too much. Here's your Wednesday pet peeve put to music. Monday after Easter, and I'm not feeling great. Possibly related to the candy that I ate. Those pastel M&Ms and eggs with orange Cadbury cream have my favorite khakis really straining at the seams. Looks like my diet is about as real as the Easter Bunny. Ooh, Butterfinger. I ate all the jelly beans, I'm not pulling your leg. Then I downed a six-pack of those Reese's eggs. Ingesting all this sugar means I'll never get to sleep. But don't say I don't share, I'll gladly let you have the peeps. You can have the peeps.
There you go.
Yay! Oh. That was great.
I like to predict the rhyme as the song is unfolding. Like, oh, I can see the peep rhyme coming.
Yeah, you knew it was coming.
Man, I don't see it. I didn't. I saw maybe leg and egg, but that was brilliant and very relatable to many of us. All right. What has happened to our dogs during lockdown, during this pandemic? Our dogs have put on an average of 7.2 pounds. During the pandemic, a survey of 1,500 dog owners found a third believe that their pet's lockdown weight increase is due to them dipping into the treat box more often while home working. See, counterintuitive to me. I think, oh, you're home. You'll be walking your dog.
You had to get some work done somehow and keep Fido fed and happy. And yeah, I know. I'd say, yeah, in the last year, Arlo became a lot more of a house dog than he used to be.
Yes. And how about, it isn't even the treat box. I've got so many bad habits with these dogs. We have all these dogs around. I'm trying to consume some normal meal. They look at you like they're starving.
Oh, yeah. Why?
Their eyes are so big, and they're like, you have the power to change my world right now with just one delicious bite, yet you refuse.
And you see, right? You like hear Sarah McLachlan like singing
in the
arms of the angels in the background.
Angels.
And it's like, what? I'm so good to this dog. But
yeah.
You just can't avoid those big brown puppy eyes.
Athena is our bigger dog, and she's battled the weight issues. Apparently, though, the latest visit to the vet, she's doing fine.
Good job.
But the thing
job.
Is, like, she can have her food, but then she can try to misrepresent it to another human in the house, like, somehow that she hasn't eaten.
That she hasn't eaten.
Or, no, the deal is, if she's outside, if they're outside barking at the neighbors or something, you just yell cookie and she comes a running like she did yesterday.
So will I. So, if you yell cookie, I will come running.
Yes, I know Arlo is I know I mentioned this several times before. I always said, oh, my big 70-pound dog. And then at the end of last year, we took him to the vet and they said, your big 70-pound dog is 92 pounds. And
Arlo,
they said,
I
he
feel
needs to
your
trim
pain.
Down. And
he did trim down, though, didn't he?
He has. He's dropped. And here's the thing. We say dogs have gained an average of 7.2 pounds. At least it's not the COVID-19, right? That's probably what I gained.
See, if I didn't have opposable thumbs, I probably wouldn't be as heavy as I am, you know?
There you go. Take them for a walk today.
So which word or phrase are you tired of hearing? It seems this year during the pandemic and lockdown, especially in ads, this first one, in these trying and uncertain times.
Oh, we've heard a lot of that.
Oh, that's man. Sure. And then it's usually like,
we're all in this together?
Yeah. In these trying uncertain times, Bazooka Bubblegum is here for you.
Yeah.
Are you Bazooka? Are you?
I don't see you here.
I'm going to pick the one on the list that I am tired of. Anything paired with the word hack. Life hacks, kitchen hacks, body hacks. Please. Enough already.
I use that all the time. I say,
oh, yes.
Cooking hack, ramen with a handful of cabbage and rotisserie chicken. That's my cooking hack.
Follow me for more cooking hacks. Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't see it on here, but I have to say a word or phrase that I'm a little bit tired of is pivot. It's like, oh, we're going to pivot to that.
Yes. You know, yes.
And, well, and all these we're probably guilty of saying, I'm sure. But.
Well, I just want to take a deep dive into the word pivot, and then we'll circle back.
Yeah.
Circle back. Let's just circle back.
Okay, that's another one. Yeah. You know, another one they have on the list is influencer. I guess, I don't know, has that all of a sudden risen? I mean, in the leadership world, that's out there all the time.
Yeah, so. But I think, we're talking about, well, I'm an Instagram influencer, so you need to cop my hotel stay and everything that I eat at the restaurant because my 3,000 followers are going to come pay for it.
All right.
Because my 200 followers, guys. Mm. How about we're all in this together?
Follow WWIB on Instagram, by the way.
We have heard
Yeah, we're all in this together. I mean, we've heard a lot of that, I think. During
which
is true. We have been, right?
Yeah.
We've got songs for King of Country and Stephen Curtis.
And here's the thing. It's like, how does a cliche become a cliche? Probably because there's a lot of truth to it, and then it gets said over and over again. So we get these, but sometimes it's like, well, maybe find just a different turn of phrase.
Here, I'm just going to burst in with my most hated. There are people that have it harder than you.
That's your most hated.
It's my most hated.
Why?
Because I think minimizing your own, sorry to be serious, but to minimize your own struggles, it doesn't help.
You know?
Yeah, you will always find someone who objectively has it worse than you. But the fact is, your problems seem big to you.
Sure.
So those are the ones that you need to address.
So during the next 3 weeks, I shouldn't go, well, I could have it worse. I could be laid up with a shoulder surgery from a rotator cuff.
Oh, man, I'll be living the life of Riley. It looks worse than it is.
An enduring phrase, maybe we'll bring this back around Father's Day, but a dad phrase, my dad would always say, it's better than a sharp stick in the eye.
Yeah.
It's like, true.
Anything is true.
I didn't know that was an option.
Yeah.